Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, wholesome snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like baked cheddar potato sticks. To get your free NatureBox sampler box, go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 169 for October 15th, 2014. PacificCon and Petaluma. Good evening and welcome to another Ham Nation. Bob is on the road again this week, but we've got the regular crew here. Let's first say hello to Gordo. Gordo, what's going on over in Costa Mesa?
Well, I think many of the hosts, including yourself, are like going, oh, what a deal for PacificCon and the warm-up deal at the Twit Studio. And I know we'll have plenty of coverage of that. But it was great to meet all of the Twit crew and Brian in the flesh, and just a fun time for all. Well, this week is going to be a busy one again on the air. This Friday, I'll be down in San Diego talking to the Mariners going south to Mexico on a boat race called the Baja Haha, all about VHF and marine single sideband. And then this Saturday and Sunday, you know what it is? It's Jamboree on the Air. A great opportunity for us to work many of the scouts out there in radio land on multiple bands. Also this Saturday, the Al Brock Memorial Ham Fest will be taking place in Rome, Georgia. And this Sunday, during the Jamboree on the Air, the Canute Amateur Radio Club will be at the American Legion in Canute, Ohio. And I had a great Skype last night with the Ashland Amateur Radio Club. A few of those men got together, and we had a fun time talking all about tropoducting. Well, later on, we'll tell you about what Leo said and what he likes most about our show and what he'd like to see in the show. And we're prepared to do it next week. So more about that shortly. George and the gang, back to you.
Yeah, Gordo, it was really great hanging out with you and Bob and Randy and Leo and everyone this past week. Well, what a big time we had there in Petaluma and also at PacificCon. And one guy who wasn't with us is here tonight, and that's Don. What happened while we were gone, Don?
I was out. Well, I went to Cruising the Coast, which is a huge classic car event down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast in Mississippi, oddly enough, on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And they had the biggest year they've ever had, 7,200, I think, almost 7,300 registered cars, which is just a rolling mobile car show the whole length of the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And it's a lot of fun, and I went down there and had fun. But now, we missed last week. Amanda had a birthday last week. I don't know if a few days ago. I don't know if we covered that. And also, George, your friend Jimmy Burrell, N5SPE, people remember him as the guy with a propane torch trying to set his shack on fire as he was pulling the components off the board. Well, I don't have a cake or a muffin, but I have a birthday cookie, and it's got pink sprinkles for Amanda and a little something special for Jimmy here. We'll just light that bad boy right up. And I think there we go.
Well, Jim would,
that'll do it. Oh, it's not lit yet. Hang on. There we go. Is it lit? There we go.
Hey, all right.
Happy birthday, Jimmy. Happy birthday, Amanda. Now I've got melted wax all over me. Back to you, George.
Yeah, Jim would be proud to see that, Don. You're carrying on the grand tradition there. And we've also got Val with us this week. What are you going to be talking about in a little bit, Val?
Well, we had Tim, Whiskey 3 Yankee Quebec, out here a few weeks ago, and he was working on some of our antennas on our towers. So we're going to be doing tower safety, but I wanted to talk about when I was at W9DXCC, the theme of the convention was, where's our hobby going to be in 20 years? When we looked around the room, there were not a lot of young DXers, but I found this guy right here. Brian, if you want to show that picture. That's Brandon. He's 11 years old. He's from Mississippi. He's got his general class license, and he loves to DX and go to Hamfest with his grandparents. So way to go. We need more of them. So like Gordo was saying, get out there and work the JOTA guys this weekend. Also, the ARRL school roundup is Monday and Tuesday. So work those guys if you hear them on the air. But I got more to talk about after the video later tonight. So back to you, George.
Well, thanks, Val. Yeah, Brandon, we'll have to try to run into him here at the Jackson Ham Fest, I believe, is coming up at the end of January. Good to have some new young hams here in the state. And, you know, a celebrity, or another celebrity, actually, got his license recently. And our friend John Amadeo sent us a little video on that.
I want to introduce Rob in here, AA6RA. Then we've got Tim here in the middle, N6QJ, and of course Julian here, N3JF. And there's been a rumor out there about someone on the show here getting his license. And we didn't talk about it, and we didn't comment back to him. People starting to think wild things. But this is the VE team, an ARRL VE team, that recently gave it test to a ham, and I did see the license was issued about September the 9th or the 8th. But you guys want to talk about who got your license?
Yes, Tim Allen did test, and he did pass his technician exam, and we're very, very happy about that. It all started at the ARRL convention in Hartford. John Amadeo approached Amanda Grimaldi, KB1VUV, and basically asked her questions, how can we get this going, and how do we do this under the radar? It's a big deal for this to happen.
My understanding is they actually did take a long time studying over several weeks. He opened the books and put in the hard work, and his test showed almost 100%.
He did. Almost 100%.
So for people tuning in here at the last minute, we are verifying this. Tim Allen does have his license.
Yes.
He will not be using his own license on show. So there you have it. Tim Allen has his real technician class license. My thanks to Rob, Tim, and Julian for making the announcement here on W5KUB.com.
And congratulations, Tim. Welcome to the hobby. I know we're all proud to have you in here with us. Well, now, Gordo, I think you've got a little more information for us, don't you?
I do, and I've got to hold on here a second. I've got to put on my information hat. Leo indicated that the best part of Ham Nation that he enjoyed was something that would be both entertaining as well as educational. In fact, that's what a lot of his triangulation and earlier shows was based on, and that was something that was a learning experience. So beginning next week, we are going to bring out the half-wave dipole. And we're not going to say go out and buy a half-wave dipole. Next week, we would like those of you with a technician class license to go out and get about 20 feet of wire. I don't care if it's speaker wire or household wire or whatever wire, but score some wire about 20 feet. Now, for those of you with a general, advanced or extra class ticket, we're going to put you on 40 meters rather than 10 meters to take part in Garlic Mike's net, and we'll do some comparisons. And you're going to need about 70 feet of wire. And we're going to actually construct, and you'll see Gordo short shots, the construction of a dipole. You may want to have a multimeter handy. But about the only thing commercial we're going to use, other than some RG8 or RG58 or RG8X coax, would be probably the commercially made PL259. So begin to amass this material, because next week we're going to have a short shots of building your own simple dipole, getting the PL259 on one end, doing a little bit of soldering, on the other end, and doing a nice project of getting that dipole on the air. That'll be next week, which will be the 22nd. Then on October 29th, be prepared, because we'll all be in costume here at Ham Nation getting ready for Halloween. But that's when we're going to show you how to maybe get the dipole up in the air. And then that following week, as well as that night, we're going to actually make some contacts. So that's our project for the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be fun. We encourage you also to see the latest issue of CQ Magazine. This is their September issue. It just came out. Thicker than ever, and we're just delighted to see that CQ is again back on the newsstand and doing so well. I only worry that this poor operator has not hooked the coax up to either of these transceivers that I see on the front cover. They are unterminated, so I hope he doesn't transmit, but it's fun. The CQ magazine front cover and a great issue of CQ that has been put together by Rich over at CQ. And then finally, I'll look forward to seeing you all in New Jersey at the KJI Open House. Well, that's it for tonight. I'm going to start to assemble a 10-meter dipole with technicians. So get 20 feet of wire for next week. And a 40-meter dipole that also works on 15 for those of you with a general and extra. And we're actually going to get them on the air as a Ham Nation project. And finally, we had some requests saying, how can we score some of the instructor materials that you gave out at PacificCon? Easy. All you have to do is go to www.haminstructor.com, sign up, tell us about the classes you'll be teaching, and you're going to get one of just about everything, including the instructor guidebook. Now, for those of you that are currently teaching a class with other books, and you say, well, I've never seen the Gordo book, I will personally send you a book if you send me an email at wb6noa@arrl.net. Tell us all about the class that you're teaching, full details. Don't just tell me you want a free book, but give me all the details. Ah, thanks, Brian. And I will personally autograph and send you free $22 book that you can look over and say, wow, I should switch from other books maybe over to the Gordo book. So if you're actually teaching a class and you got to tell me all about it, I may even ask for proof of a flyer, you're eligible for me to send you out of my private stock the book, so you can see that we have a more fun way of getting students through the test, and most important, on the air. George, back to you, and we're building dipoles next week.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun, Gordo. Donna, I suspect you could use that torch to put on the PL259.
I believe you could, as a matter of fact. And you know what else you can use that torch for? You can use that torch to pop some popcorn, but why bother when Nature Box has you covered? Yeah, Nature Box. This episode's brought to you by Nature Box, a brand new sponsor to Ham Nation. We appreciate Nature Box being here. Right now, you can get a free trial box of their most popular snacks. So lose the candy bar. Lose the potato chips. They're not good for you. Do what I've been doing. Nature Box sent me some stuff, and it's really good. It's delicious, wholesome snacks from naturebox.com. They have hundreds of delicious snacks, and you don't have to feel guilty about them because they're better for you. They have zero artificial flavors, colors or sweeteners, no grams of trans fat, no high fructose corn syrup. You'll even find snacks with no added sugar and without gluten. So check this out. Here's what they sent me. They sent me this coffee kettle popcorn, and this is good. And let me go over some of the ingredients here. Non-GMO popcorn, brown sugar, clarified butter, coconut oil, water, coffee, sea salt, soybean oil. I mean, it's baking soda. It's all natural. This stuff is really good too, but this is what I like right here. This is pineapple, dried pineapple, and the ingredients. This may take a while. Ingredients: dried pineapple. That's it. Nothing else. It's natural. It's good for you. It's so much better than other snack options. So much better than this cookie that I torched earlier. So in the afternoon when you're hungry, do what I do. Grab some Nature Box. The pineapple really good, and so is the coffee popcorn. They also have apple cinnamon cray from Nature Box, sriracha roasted cashews, cranberry macaroon granola. Hundreds of choices. So good. So much better for you than the other snacks out there. Start your free trial today. Get your free sampler box at naturebox.com/twit. Stay full. Stay strong. Start snacking smarter. Be good to your body. Go to naturebox.com/twit. And NatureBox, thank you so much for being a new supporter of Ham Nation. I'm going to, while Val is picking things up here, I'm going to have some of this. My mouth is watering already just thinking about that. Val?
Well, you know, that's pretty coincidental that we got the new sponsor, Nature Box, because Sunday I just started the If You Can't Read It, Don't Eat It diet. So I'm going to have to go out and get me a box of Nature Box because it sounds like I'm going to be able to read all the ingredients in the box.
Naturebox.com/twit. Go there.
Perfect. Really I'm going. Good. I'm going to try it. So we're doing a video this week on tower safety. I know fall's coming. A lot of people get out there and get up in the air. And before you do, hopefully you're going to follow these guidelines in this video. I hope you guys enjoy.
Anybody planning on climbing a tower should really take a tower climbing course. And you need to make sure you follow OSHA guidelines. And here's some very helpful websites you can use. The first one is the OSHA website, which is kind of tricky to navigate. So I highly recommend the NATE website that actually has all the safety regulations on there, along with a bunch of other helpful links. And I listed a couple of tower climbing schools scattered throughout the country. So what do you need to get started? Well, you're going to need some work gloves. You're also going to need some two-way communication with the ground and a hard hat, preferably a Green Bay Packer hard hat, some work boots, a harness, which can run you upwards of $800, a tool belt or tool bucket filled with all the tools you're going to need, and safety glasses. Before you climb any towers, you're going to want to do a walk around, make sure all the guys are properly anchored and secure. You're also going to want to check the tower base to make sure that that's not rusted away like this one here. You're not going to want to climb that tower. This tower looks good, safe to climb. Next thing you're going to want to do is make sure that the hard hat is fastened and secure on your head, and then move on to the harness. Make sure everything is fastened, buckled, secured, and snug. Our model demonstrating today is Tim, Whiskey 3 Yankee Quebec. He did a bunch of tower work in the winter in Alaska, so he can pretty much do tower work anywhere, any time of the year. We hired him out to help us with some tower work we needed done, our antenna work, and he's been top-notch, complete professional. Worked a lot faster than we ever could have. Hats off to Tim, and really a wonderful guy. Now, that harness he's wearing is about $800, not including all the attachments and things like that, but well worth it to save a life. And here's the most important thing. Always be hooked on. Always. And you can see Tim here demonstrating he has two hooks, and there's always at least one hook attached at all times, without exception. And last, make sure everyone is clear of the drop zone, and if they are in the drop zone, they need to be wearing a hard hat. What is the drop zone? For every 1 foot up, it's 1 foot out in all directions. So if you're going to have someone up at 100 feet, you need to clear 100 feet all around the tower. And it's always best to never work alone. You want to make sure you have a buddy. And also make sure you check the weather before you climb for any high winds or storms approaching. If you follow these easy rules, you'll be climbing towers safely in no time. Here's Tim, Whiskey 3 Yankee Quebec, enjoying the view after helping install the top Yagi on the 15-meter stack at 120 feet.
Oh.
And I'm going to end the video showing the guys bringing down a three-element 80-meter Yagi that got damaged in an ice storm. Look at them go. They definitely had their coffee today. We'll be right back.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I hope I didn't get anybody dizzy. I had to speed it up, but we were having a little fun with the GoPro. We put the GoPro helmet on Tim's helmet, and so we had a lot of fun footage to work with. But that was a very large antenna, and it took a little while to get past the guys. So we had two very experienced climbers on that one. But definitely make sure you follow all those rules when you're climbing a tower. And if in doubt, hire a climber. They work very reasonable. They get it done in probably half the time you could do. So it's well worth it. Why put yourself at risk? So stay safe out there, everybody, now that it's everybody's getting their towers ready for the season. Speaking of the season, everybody's starting to get in place for all the contests and DX that's going to be going on this fall. Right now, we have out there is VK9 Delta Lima X-Ray Lord Howe Island. They're on the air now, so if you need them, get out there and work them. Also, Zulu Kilo 3 Echo and Zulu Kilo 3 Quebec is out there. That's a Tokelau. So if you need that one, they're on the air right now. This Saturday, the Coast Guard Auxiliary Special Event Station is going to be on the air Saturday only. They're going to be Kilo 1 Golf. Also Saturday is the Iowa, New York, and South Dakota CUSO Party. So get on the air and work those guys. Also on Sunday is the Illinois CUSO Party, and yours truly, I will be on the air, so make sure you get out there and work me and my fellow SMC brothers and sisters. And like I said, when it comes to CUSO parties, that's really the best way to get your feet wet with contesting or getting on the air. If you're microphone shy, start with a CUSO party because you don't need to turn in a log. All you need to do is give a signal report in your state. You don't have to worry about being unique. If your CW speed is really slow, they will slow down for you. They want to get you in their logs. So that's the perfect way to get over that microphone fright or contest fright. Also this weekend is the 1010 Fall CW Contest. And like I mentioned earlier, Monday and Tuesday is the ARRL Contest Club School Roundup or School Club Roundup. And then next weekend is the granddaddy of them all, CQ Worldwide Sideband. If propagation is right and you work hard, you can walk away working 100 countries in the 48 hours that that contest is on the air. It's a pretty amazing contest, so well worth it to get out there. And that is October 25th and 26th, not this weekend, but the following weekend. And speaking of behind, you know, back here, let me see if I can get it in camera here. Hang on. People have been asking me about the software for this. This is actually a Geochron World Clock. That gray line is constantly moving as we change seasons, days, you know. So it actually knows that it's today, Tuesday night, October 15th, you know. Or Wednesday night, October 15th, and it moves with it. And those asking me about the Ham Nation NV9L, that's Jim's Engraving that did that. And also, I don't know if you noticed, I made my little pumpkin. I saw this on Facebook. It says boo in CW, so I thought that was kind of cute. It's not lit up very well on the camera, but I tried to get in the Halloween spirit here. So that's all I have, so I'm going to pass it over to you, Don, for Newsline.
What?
Oh. Yeah, make me jealous. You know I want that.
Nature Box. Newsline. I'm eating. Go. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1939, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. The Administrative Council of the International Amateur Radio Union has released the minutes of its annual meeting on September 27th and 28th in Bulgaria. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with the details.
The meeting began with the Administrative Council reviewing the International Amateur Radio Union's position on each of the 2015 World Radio Communications Conference agenda items that relate to amateur radio or may have an impact on amateur radio. The Council also adopted the IARU Emergency Telecommunications Guide for use by member societies to strengthen amateur radio disaster preparedness, response, and mitigation. It also approved various strategies to promote the role of amateur radio in these activities to government and non-government organizations, as well as to the general public, in relation to ham radio space-related operations. The council expressed the importance of obtaining ITU advanced publication information numbers from administrations for satellite projects operating in the amateur and amateur satellite bands in order to keep track of operational satellites to help frequency coordination and for resolving interference issues. This is only part of what transpired at the meeting. The full minutes are available at www.iaru-r1.org.
We now know the launch date of a Chinese lunar mission carrying amateur radio. Here's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
The launch of China's 4MLXS flyby ham radio moon mission is now slated for liftoff in a narrow window around 1759 UTC on Thursday, October 23rd, with the lunar flyby to occur on Tuesday, October 28th at 0033 UTC. Zhisong Hui, LX2RG, reports via the Southgate News that the 4MLXS lunar flyby amateur radio payload departed Luxembourg for China's Satellite Launch Center on Sunday, October 5th. Once there, it will be transferred to the launch vehicle. China is planning to send the lunar orbiter around the moon, carrying, among other experiments, a battery-powered ham radio payload known as 4MLXS. The amateur radio system will transmit a JT65B signal on 145.990 MHz, which can be decoded by radio amateurs here on Earth using the free WSJT software. The ham radio team is currently in the process of setting up its ground station network. They are especially looking for Southern Hemisphere stations, as they will be very much needed to provide first-hand reports for the early hours of the mission. Those wishing to volunteer should email ruy@luxspace.lu with the words 4M amateur in the subject line.
The B-64 balloon launched at 0651 GMT July 12th from the UK is still aloft and on the air, transmitting on 434.500 MHz. On October 3rd, Phil Herron, MI0VIM, reported decoding data from B-64 while it was over the North Atlantic Ocean, coming up for the sixth time it would pass the United Kingdom on its continuing journeys around the world. B-64 was built by Leo Bodner, M0XER, who made both the plastic foil envelope and the solar-powered transmitter payload, which weighs just 11 grams. And there was another recent balloon launching involving ham radio.
J. Miller, W5WHN, reports that 8 gas-filled balloons departed the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta on Monday, October 6th. Each balloon carried an APRS beacon with the call signs K5GAS-1 through K5GAS-8, respectively.
And finally this week, the 2014 Scouting Jamboree on the Air, or JOTA, will take place the weekend of October 18th and 19th. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
This is the single biggest annual international scouting event.
700,000 scouts get on the air from 150 countries across 12,000 stations and nearly 22,000 amateur radio operators. It's a big deal.
That's Jim Wilson, K5ND, who's the USA National Jamboree on the Air organizer and a member of the World Jamboree on the Air team. Wilson says the event gives amateur radio operators the chance to share the brotherhood of the hobby with the brotherhood of scouting. This is the 57th year for JOTA activity on the bands, and also marks a first for the event, at least in the U.S.
This is the first year that K2BSA/1, 2, 3, 4, and so on will be on the air from every call sign area in the continental USA.
Wilson says you can learn more about JOTA activities or sign up by going to k2bsa.net.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, Heather Emby, KB3TZD, and Mark Abramovich, NT3V, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, so some good stuff from Amateur Radio Newsline this week. Now, let's talk about fall and mail that you may be getting very soon. That would be the new Fall DX Engineering Catalog. Should be hitting your doorstep any day. I haven't gotten mine yet, but if you haven't got it already, it's on the way. And as you flip through the pages, you'll notice that there are certain products that are marked with special DX Bucks icons. Now, earlier this year, DX Engineering launched the DX Bucks Awards program, and you can take advantage of the deals now. You can earn gift certificates whenever you buy selected DX Bucks eligible gear. You can apply the DX Bucks towards your future orders. Just think of them as gift certificates. Purchase any product that is currently eligible for the DX Bucks Award. After you finish the transaction, you'll receive a certificate in the mail a week or two later. The certificate has a special code. That's your DX Bucks promotion account. And then the next time you order, either online or by phone, give the DX Engineering folks that number, and you'll be awarded DX Bucks amount. It'll be sliced right off the top of your order. And the DX Bucks rewards are range anywhere from $10 to over $100 off of your next purchase. It's amazing. What's the catch? Well, there really isn't one, except that your DX Bucks are only active for a limited time. They typically expire in 6 months. So that's still plenty of time to cash in on your rewards. So, you know, not a big hurry, but, you know, I mean, they will go away eventually. But anyway, the DX Bucks eligible products change with every new catalog. So when you get your new catalog and you want to read it, you'll find them attached to antennas, radios, tools, all kinds of things. If you want to get started, grab the latest DX Engineering catalog or visit dxengineering.com. Your catalog should be coming and arriving into your mailbox in the next few weeks. I can't wait for mine. And if you're not on the catalog mailing list, then my God, what's wrong with you? I don't want you in the house. You need to sign up now at dxengineering.com. Totally free. It's the best way to stay up to date on the newest DX Bucks promotions. I want you to start earning your DX Bucks and get rewards for buying from DX Engineering. There's really no better place to buy. And remember, DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. You get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. If it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. I want you to request your catalog or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. That's dxengineering.com/hamnation. And DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. They have soldering stuff, George, but one thing I don't think they have is torches! Smoking solder! Smoking solder! Smoking solder! I'm ready! Do it to me!
That was pretty good, Don. I don't know how you got that thing lit because I didn't see you hold up a lighter in front of it there. Must be automatic. Well, you know, we're not going to really, well, I guess we will see a little bit of related stuff, but all of us were in Petaluma and at Pacificon this past week. And, you know, Randy and I only able to get together once a year or so. And this has probably been the first time in a year. And, well, he's got a little background footage of our episode from Twit last week and some of the things that went on behind the scenes.
Hi there, everybody. No, it's not Leo Laporte, but it's Bob Heil, K9EID, and I'm on his blue ball, which is his whole desk area that you see him at weekly on Twit TV. And we're here to have a good time on Ham Nation tonight. So we just thought we'd come in and say hello from Leo's favorite spot. Can I open it safely? thank you. Very good. I appreciate that. Thank you, my friend. Very nice.
The pressure is on, Randy.
Preparing for Ham Nation tonight. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. It's very good.
Yeah.
And we have everybody here. We've got Bob, Gordo, and we also got Randy here with the camera. George is here. We've got Ray Novak here. Everybody's here. And Leo and Lisa will be back in just a little bit. Go ahead.
I'm looking forward to seeing the show.
Now, after Harry's, we'll do them, and then we'll switch those guys.
Works for me.
You're not going to play the theme?
The intro?
Okay.
Oh, mic's good.
Yeah, they sound good. Actually, George, the mic, can you talk into your mic?
This is WT6H.
Perfect. Randy?
K7AGE.
Cool. You guys all sound good.
All right.
Speaking of great inventions by ham radio operators, how about this one right here?
The idea came from Joe Walsh. I'm building ham. My what, tower safety? Is that the next one?
Yes, I'm working on that right now. You know, I originally met Gordo back when I was a 2-meter girl.
Take a little break here and we're going to listen to a word from Harry's.
Hey, let's welcome a brand new sponsor to Ham Nation.
So all the videos are gone, you can rest.
Huh? Yeah, for a split second. That's where I usually try calling out guests and stuff, is between videos.
There's Dale waiting on the side.
That's check out
the
kit. 10 seconds.
Harry's,
Thank you for the great product. Thank you for your support.
Three. Don Wilbanks, you are the best. Thank you so much. We wish you could be here with us, too.
Look who I found walking around in the back.
I need training.
He needs no training.
Who wants to be my Elmer?
You had
to. Is there should be an icon, Andy.
Yeah, there should be a 92.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I might have. I don't. I thought
it
maybe
it behind.
Here it is.
The drawer?
You need to check your drawers.
Uh-oh. Who put that in my drawers? That's awesome. Love this. And it's all, somebody get it all fixed up.
Yeah.
So, Bob, Amanda says she has a lot of questions for Leo, so maybe we should do that first and then maybe do the news line after or something.
There you are.
Hey!
Now I'm ready.
This is Whiskey Tango, 6 Hotel, WT6H from the Twit Studio. We're ready to go live.
Yeah, it's been fun.
They're not going to hear me.
You didn't see the headset.
Is there all these people?
I know, you got a pile up right now. I remember the first time I went on. It was
Whiskey Tango, 6 Hotel from the Twit Studio.
Hey, look at me and give me a cute look again.
Gordo and the gang here. We've also got, you would never believe this, we've got Leo Laporte, W6TWT, is going to say hello here. Stand by for Leo.
Hey to everybody on the net. Thank you for watching Ham Nation. Hope you enjoyed the show. It's so cool to be sitting. I feel like I'm sitting like Mount Rushmore of ham. I've got Bob Heil and Gordo West here, and then George is over there. It's pretty amazing to be sitting with all these legends in the business. So 7-3 to everybody on the net. W6TWT.
We are so pleased to be here at the Twit Studio, and Leo and Lisa, thank you both so much for making ham radio happen from Petaluma.
Awesome.
So here's Mike, and Randy's doing the video, and Garlic Mike, it's yours, WB6NOA.
Why do they call him? Oh, because he's from Gilroy.
Well, there you have it. I hope I made a believer out of y'all out there. We've got the Grand Poobah here of the Twit Studios here, W6TWT. I got him on HF on 40 meters from the Twit Studio. So there's a first, everybody. Hey, thanks for watching the show here tonight. We're going to be listening on frequency. I'm going to turn it back over to Net Control. This is Whiskey Tango, 6 Hotel from the Twit Studio.
All right.
Boy, we really had a great time that night at Twit, didn't we, Gordo?
Oh, yeah. I tell you, Garlic Mike makes it happen. In fact, at the convention, Garlic Mike strings up a G5 RV out of his room over the parking lot to a parking garage, tells the hotel, just deal with it. It's going to be okay. And it was. He, on 10 meters, worked all the way to Europe. 10 meters FM 29.6. Garlic Mike is a real ham, like many of the other net controllers, and I hope all of you tonight will give him a big round of applause when you hear us calling for the Ham Nation Net right after the show. George, back to you.
Yeah, I got some pictures of that, Gordo. I'll be releasing a Pacificon episode here before long. I'll let you know when and where that comes out. But I put together just a little bit of background here from Pacificon, so let's take a look at that. After leaving the Twit Studios, the crew headed to Santa Clara for Pacificon. We made a couple of stops along the way, and one of them was the Golden Gate Bridge. We went up on the overlook to get a better view of the bridge, and this is what we saw. Yes, it was just a little foggy that day, so no bridge in sight. Randy and I also made a stop at Fry's. And after admiring the soldering irons for a little while, I found this great book to help get me up to speed on current technology. Friday morning, everyone was busy setting up their booths. There's Gordo with his short shorts. And Bob was busy, too, setting up a display of his newest headphone creation. This was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and the Hamfest was opening at 3 p.m., and there was still a lot of work to be done.
These two crates here are from ICOM America. I suspect they shipped Ray Novak in one of these. Here's Miss ICOM America 2014.
Oh, man, that's scary for Miss ICOM.
In the hallway out front here is where the emergency responders, clubs and organizations are setting up. They're still moving in as well.
And here's Gordo admiring a new portrait that'll soon be on display in the post office.
This looks like it could be a hot spot during the Ham Fest. Isn't that a beautiful sight to behold? All those soldering stations laid out there ready to go. Well, it's 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and they finally opened the gate to let the attendees in. And here they come. And here's Laura in hip ham shirts. We talked with them at CPAC, and I don't think you've seen that episode yet. We'll be releasing that soon. Of course, ARRL was here supporting the 100th anniversary of the league, and they've got a big special event station outside, W100AW/6, special event station. I've run across W100AW several times this year. This is interesting looking antenna here. That's copper strap making up a loop. The tuner section is right here. It's a helically wound magnetic loop antenna.
Once the doors opened, things got quite busy inside.
Randy, PacificCon started now, and you were here early this morning for some event, weren't you?
I started at 8 o'clock this morning for the all-day antenna seminar, although I've left early. I think I skipped the last two sessions, but some really interesting papers. It was one that was really neat was from the antenna designer for the Apple iPhones. And how he approaches the problem and such is very interesting. I heard him talk last year, and he basically gave the same talk. It was very interesting a second time, as well as other talks about this one fellow about building his small contest station in his townhouse. Wow. And how to deal with antennas and stuff when you're in a townhouse and a, you know, maybe a 7 by 30 foot backyard and that type of thing. So that was, you know, interesting. And, you know, not everything has to be a huge contest station type size operation. So a lot of very good practical stuff.
So is there somewhere people can get that information after it, or was it only available to those who attended the sessions?
It was only, well, there's a little bit of both. They, you know, you could pay and extra and get the flash drive of all the presentations. A lot of the people have their presentations on their own personal websites, so there's no one central place to go look.
So you've got two sessions in the morning.
Yes, two in the morning, starting at 8 o'clock. So the first one is my PSK31 presentation. I've done that for many years, usually at either just about or maybe standing room only in the room. It's very popular. And immediately after that, for the second hour, is my SSTV talk. Mm-hmm. And that's in parallel with Gordel's talk first in the morning. Then Bob is parallel with my second talk. And then I'll be over to see you just before lunch.
So I'm not sure which of us have the toughest job. Well, you, of course, because you're doing two of them. But you're up head-to-head with Bob and Gordo. And I have to follow them, so I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition. Maybe I won't have anybody in the room. They'll all be listening to Bob and Gordo.
Could be.
Well, we all got through our presentations, and no one was injured in the process. But it was just a great ham fest, and I was really too busy to get around and do everything I wanted. One of those things I missed was the Collins van. It was on display, but I didn't get to it until they had loaded it up to haul it away. So you can see we had a great time there. And like I said, I'll have more of that in the future, and we'll let you know when and where you can get that. Well, last week I asked a question. Before UTC was used as a time standard, what did WWV use? And we had a winner here. It's Mark, AB9ZA. And he said the answer is until April 1967, WWV used the local time of the transmitter site. Then it switched to Greenwich Mean Time, GMT. And in 1974, it switched again to Coordinated Universal Time. So congratulations, Mark. We're going to send you this 24-hour MFJ clock, a great little timepiece that all hams need. And for next week, I've got another question here. What is the RMS voltage across a 500-turn secondary winding in a transformer if it has 2,250 turns in the primary and is connected to 120 volts AC. Now, let me read that one more time because there's a lot of numbers in there. What is the RMS voltage across a 500-turn secondary winding in a transformer if the 2,250-turn primary is connected to 120 volts AC? And this came from the general question pool, so it's multiple choices. Your possible answers are A, 3,270 volts, B, 540 volts, C, 26.7 volts, or D, 5.9 volts. And if you think you know the answer to that, send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win this. It's a set of Heil ProSet 3s. Same headphones. Well, actually, this is a new pair here, but that's the same headphones that I use for my video work. A great sounding set of headphones there. You certainly want to try to win these. So, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and it could be you next week. And right now, we've got a little message from ICOM. 2014 marks the 50th anniversary of ICOM Incorporated. To celebrate this milestone year, ICOM is releasing two limited edition radios, the IC7850 HF 50 MHz transceiver and a special ID51A VHF-UHF dual band handheld. These models are limited in quantity and include innovative features that you can only expect from ICOM. The IC7850 is the pinnacle of HF perfection. There will only be 150 units available worldwide. This limited edition radio has vibrant gold accents, and each unit will have a 50th anniversary limited edition plate. Features include a 1.2 kHz optimized roofing filter for improved in-band adjacent signal performance and excellent dynamic range, a new local oscillator design with a CN ratio that excels beyond the competitors and creates a new benchmark for phase noise with an amazing -150 dBc/Hz at 10 kHz offset and 140 dBc/Hz even at 1 kHz offsets. There are also several new scope enhancements such as an improved spectrum scope for faster sweep speed and better accuracy, a dual scope function to simultaneously see activities in both receivers, a high resolution spectrum scope screen, and enhanced mouse operation for the spectrum scope. The ID51A unlocks the power of D-Star from the palm of your hand. Only 5,000 units are available worldwide. This radio will feature the words 50th anniversary on the front interface. It comes in blue, green, red, white, and black limited edition colors. The special edition features include faster data transfer in DV mode, RSMS1A Android app compatibility, additional D-Plus reflector link commands. Other enhanced digital features include DV and FM repeater search and DPRS functions, and a long antenna supplied for optimal receive performance. Make sure you visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's 50th anniversary limited edition IC7850 and ID51A. How would you like one of those ID51A 50th anniversary edition radios? Well, you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and throw your name in the hat for some great prizes from the ICOM swag store, like T-shirts, hats, a lot of different ICOM prizes there. But you'll also be entered in the monthly grand prize drawing. And for October, it is the ID51A 50th Anniversary Edition, a dual-band, dual-watch, 5-watt handheld with rich D-Star and integrated GPS features, automatic repeater lift-up, micro SD card, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And you remember we were promoting that IC7100 that was being given away? Well, we've got a winner on that now. This was to celebrate Amateur Logic's 9th anniversary. And the winner from the drawing was Scott, I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Castangue. From Roy, Washington, KC7UOC. So congratulations, Scott. We'll be sending you that IC7100, along with a little Tar Heel from MFJ and the MFJ screwdriver antenna tuner, the Comet dual-band antenna, and Comet mounts. So he's really going to have a great station there to work the Halloween nets this year, if he can find one. And I mentioned episode 71, the 9th anniversary of Amateur Logic, was just released today. So go check that out. showed you my antenna switcher I was working on here recently using an Arduino. Well, I decided to build my own Arduino, and on there I show the first stages or the schematic of my cheapo Duino. So go check that out. I'm sure you'll find that a lot of fun. Well, what do you say we get Amanda in here and find out what's going on in the chat room tonight?
Well, good evening, George. And by the way, happy 9th anniversary. We're so proud of you. And good job there on Amateur Logic TV. And Dawn, thank you for Blowtorch and Cookie. That's awesome. Let's get to the questions, though. Gordo, we've got a ton for you. Let's see. N3ROC, he wants to know if your extra book comes with an audio CD.
Okay. Yes, the extra book comes with an audio CD. Not of the Q&As, but the audio CD plays all of the sounds of the DX that an extra class operator might hear digital or some of the regular sideband DX. And by the way, Amanda, speaking of sideband DX, this coming Friday evening and all day Saturday, Main Trading in down in Paris, Texas, is having their big get-together ham show. So if you're looking for good DX gear, I think they're going to give away a Kenwood TS 590, maybe even, no, the 990. Wow. There's your DX rigs along with ICOM rigs, but Main Trading will be going on all this Friday and Saturday night. So, yep, we've got an audio CD inside the new Gordo Extra Book. Back to you.
That sounds great. Thanks, Gordo, for all the info. And you guys down there in Texas, make sure you get out there and pick up some gear. Buy a ticket. Okay, let's see. George, how do you calibrate an SWR meter?
That is a very good question, and one for which I do not have the perfect answer other than take a reference meter, say maybe a bird or one that you know is accurately calibrated, and then calibrate against that. Gordo, do you have a better suggestion for that?
No, I think that's a great suggestion. And another way of calibrating an SWR meter would be if it's a forward and reverse, you first transmit on an open frequency CW at a very low power. I like to use AM. Go to the set mode and let the needle rest all the way to the right where it says set, and then flick the switch to reflected, and it should drop hopefully down below 1.1 to 1 or certainly below 2 to 1, and that is your accurate reading of SWR. But if it's a meter-like preset and you're looking just at forward and reverse, even a 50-ohm non-inductive resistor would probably have that SWR reading next to nothing.
Good answers, you guys. Thanks so much. There. And Mr. Don Wilbanks, I know you were having so much fun on your Trans Am this last week, but let's see. Let's talk ham radio. Somebody, KC7FPF, he's building a 40-meter full-wave loop dipole, I'm guessing, and he's looking for a good kit for the Balun 4-to-1. Can you recommend where he should get that from?
Wow. As far as a kit to make one, I don't know. I mean, Balun's are not that hard to make. You could probably go on the internet and just search 4-to-1 Balun and get all kinds of information on how to make one. There are all kind of companies that actually make them for you if you want to buy one. I like Radio Waves. I also like Radio Works. Pretty sure MFJ has Balun's as well, so they're available just about everywhere. But if you want to make one, probably the best thing to do is just go online to Google and just type in 4-to-1 Balun. And I'm sure you'll find thousands of pages to find the best way to make one. And speaking of Main Trading, you know what else they have at Main Trading? I got that. I bought that at Main Trading, my ID51. So, yeah, love Main Trading. Good folks down there in Paris, Texas. So, back to you, Amanda.
That's great.
I've got an answer for that, too, Amanda. For a typical halfway dipole, you wouldn't need a 4-to-1 Balun. You would just direct feed it. And all center fed or something like that, you would probably want a 4-to-1 or a 6-to-1 Balun. And you're talking about making one? Well, I've got a guy that sent me all the parts to make a super heavy-duty, high-power Balun, and we're going to be doing that in the future.
Awesome.
That's great. And I'm sorry, I just had to laugh at the way I've got a guy. out of the back of a truck. Okay, never mind.
We got a guy. I got a guy. You'll love my guy. My guy is a true guy. He's a guy's guy, my guy.
And he's got a torch, right?
Yeah.
You want to see it?
Yeah. Oh, boy. You guys are too much. Seriously? Okay. Let's get serious. Okay. I do have an 80-meter loop question. George, I'll go to you on this. And I'm going to tell you, I've already done this, and I thought it worked. So here's the question. He wants to construct an 80-meter loop antenna. Can I use that solid high-carbon electric fence wire? It's pretty cheap, but I think that stranded would be more durable. Thanks in advance. What do you think?
I think you could certainly use it. No problems. I use stranded copper wire that's insulated myself. So if a limb bumps it or something, not going to get any arcing there, which is probably not a big problem anyway. But just about anything, you know, that's conductive and doesn't have high resistance to it should work. Or wouldn't you say, Gordo?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that stainless steel high voltage fence wire to keep animals in and strays out, that is pretty good stuff. It'll widen the band spread of the 80-meter loop. So instead of getting 20 kilohertz running wire, you might get 40 or 45 kilohertz using the much wider electric fence wire. But you're right, George, that's going to have a lot of windage. And the first big wind come up and the 80 meters will be down. And that's our serious answer, Amanda. You wanted us serious.
Yes, very, very serious after torches. Don scares me now. No, seriously, you guys, we put up an 80-meter loop on our apartment building. It was three stories up downtown Main Street in Canyon City. Worked like a charm. I can't say enough about it. And it was cheap, very, very cheap. So it's a good start, at least. Try that. Okay, you guys, I have some announcements. I never got to mention them last week. You guys remember Abby and Kendra, right? Well,
oh, yeah,
those two girls, those little ladies, they upgraded to Extra. Can you believe it?
Oh, wow.
Their dad is so proud of them, and he sent me the email a couple weeks ago to say that they did upgrade. So listen for them working some DX. I'm sure they are. And I have some other ones here. W1KLG, he upgraded to general at Pacificon. So congratulations to Ken as well. Good job there. Other than that, I don't have any other announcements, but some great questions tonight. And I have a couple more if we have a little bit more time. I don't know where we are schedule-wise.
Sure, happy go birthday. Ahead.
Happy
okay.
birthday.
Oh, happy thank birthday. You. We I'm not going to tell hat. You how old I am. Oh, thanks. Well, that was for Bob. I wore that for Bob. But
for his birthday. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to tell you guys how old I am. I'll let you guess. Hi. Unless you're friends with me on Facebook, and then you know already. Let's see. Gordo, do you use the newer technologies? Do you use IRLP, EchoLink, and D-Star? Are you active on those?
Yes, I'm on D-Star. And I'm on IRLP. I don't do a lot of Echo Link, but I'm on the WIN system for Internet Radio Linking Project. And any of the WIN repeaters, and there's hundreds of them throughout the world, and about 80 of them throughout the United States, just call for Gordo, WB6NOA on WIN system, and I'll be there. And again, tonight, tune us in on 40 meters. I'll have to prowl around. I show us about 72, but Garlic Mike, his signal is so loud, he's probably tied into every electric fence there is up in Gilroy. We'll hear him tonight on 40, and we hope to hear you tonight on 40 as well, as we always do, Amanda.
Oh, I definitely look forward to getting on 40 with you guys tonight. And one more question. I know, Gordo, you're just only here half the time at the end of the show. So have you already done set, or are you planning to do it with your area group there?
Let's see. Am I planning to do what?
Set. S-E-T.
Oh, set. I missed that last letter. All right. Simulated emergency test.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can see that censored sign going up already. Brian. Yes, we are going to do a simulated emergency test. In fact, tomorrow here in the West Coast, many of the Southern California cities are taking part in the Great Shakeout. So tune us in on 40 meters, 7250. 10:11, I believe, is when the Earth will start shaking, simulated. So we'll be doing a set type of operation bright and early tomorrow morning. Back to you, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. Blushing still. Okay. I think that's all the questions we have.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Hey. George is wrapping this up. George. Really? Brian. We're going to talk here. Go ahead, George.
Yeah. Amanda, how do you follow something like that? It's,
I don't know. Bacon. It's all about
it's
bacon.
Very difficult. Well, let's see. Gordo, do you still have your professor's graduation cap there?
I do. Yeah, I'll get it.
Well, let's put that on. And all right, let's,
it's good to go.
Let's Roger. See if you have any last moment words of wisdom for us.
Yes, I hope everybody takes part in SET, and we'll see you tonight on Garlic Mike's Frequency, which I believe, and I'll turn it up here in just a moment, is around 72 or higher or lower. Over.
Okay. Good to see you again this week. And Don, what about you? Tell us what's going to be happening.
I don't know. I started night classes, so I'm doing night classes for 3 hours a night, Tuesday night and Thursday night. And I'm doing this on Wednesday night, which means that the rest of the nights I'm going to be studying. So I don't even know if I'm going to have time for ham radio, but I am going to eat this cookie later. There's not much of a, look, there's not much candle left on top of it. But anyway, happy birthday to Amanda and to Jimmy. And so, and 7-3 to everybody else that's watching. We love you. We appreciate you.
What are the classes?
Yeah. Real estate.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, thinking about a career change. So,
oh, you're going to get a real job.
Oh, my God, I hope not. Hadn't happened yet.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Don. Enjoy your waxy cookie there. Amanda? Yeah.
And my waxy pants.
Yeah.
Glad I'm not wearing Gordon shorts.
Oh, my.
That's a good thing. By the way, Gordo says, I had on a pair of shorts, too, out there. We compared them. I thought mine were too short, but no. Gordo says 4 inches. Your shorts,
yep.
Regulation length is 4 inches. Amanda, any final words for us?
No. I was still trying to figure out the 4 inches thing. I thought it was 2 inches from the knee. Never mind. I can't stop laughing.
Sportif makes shorts, and they've decided that 4 inches is about the length from the inseam to the end of the shorts. 4 inches.
I need another drink.
Right. or a career change as well. Oh, boy. Bob's going to choke us all after this one, I'll tell you. Let's just go to the Nets. How about that? Yeah.
All right. Good to have y'all all with us tonight. We really had a blast. We'll be back again next week, and Bob will be with us. Hey, and don't forget to check out the Nets after the show tonight. You can check out the 40-meter net somewhere around 7.272. The 20-meter net is on, 14.282. Echo
and
Link
7278. 7278. You can hear it in the background.
7278. Okay. Echo Link is on Star Do Drop In Star, node number 355-800, and the D-Star Net, Reflector 14, Module C. Well, we'll see y'all again next week, 7-3.
We're all going to need a career change after this show.
Oh, yeah. Because Bob's going to fire us all.
Oh, my God.